Today we'll be looking at David's last words. King David's last words. And this is found in two different places. 1 Kings chapter 2 and 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's go into the exposition of this. The lesson, as noted here in the two different scripture passages, the lesson will be in two parts. The first part concerns King David's last words in regard to governmental affairs of the nation of Israel. The second portion will involve King David's last words in regard to the spiritual kingdom of God. As noted in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, David was old and in ill health. The first verse of 1 Kings chapter 1 indicates a circulatory failure. King David remained alert even during his worsening condition, which is seen in his handling of the Adonijah rebellion, found in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 through 53. So even though King David was sick and his condition continued to get worse, he was still mentally alert and was handling the affairs of state, including a civil war and rebellion. Now, in this event, we see Solomon chosen as the one to sit upon the throne of David after him. The selection of Solomon, who was birthed by Bathsheba, shows that Solomon was chosen, blessed, and approved by God. Now, God works out his own plan in spite of our sinfulness. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 gives a summary of the events of Solomon's installment on the throne, as well as David's beautiful prayer for his son and for the kingdom before his death. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Along with this, I would encourage you to read 1 Chronicles 29. Now, along with this, one must always be mindful of one's words. They will be remembered by someone. Passers-by are given something to remember you by with your words. Years later, and perhaps after you are gone, what memories have you left people with? Blessings, love, mercy, kindness, gentleness, goodness? Or will it be something else? Since no one is promised tomorrow here on earth, one should be careful of what is spoken, that it is weighed sincerely in the balances. Those words may be remembered as your last, or the only ones remembered by someone. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at those in particular. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. David. Now, David is not here given the title king. It doesn't say King David. It just says David. Since Solomon now wore the crown, David gave his son a charge in this chapter, or direction of his wishes. Quote, he starts out by saying, "I go the way of all the earth," end quote. all those who have been blessed with the privilege of life have an appointment with death at some time. See Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. See similar also in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Be thou strong, therefore, David facing death here in his words that he gives to his son, saying, be thou strong, therefore. He encouraged his son with what he may face in life. David was facing death, but even then he's looking out for his son by encouraging him what his son may face in life. So David's wishes and desires go beyond the grave, beyond his lifetime. David may not be with him soon, but David's words, as stated before, may be remembered long afterwards. Quote, and show thyself a man, end quote. That is to say, with honor, resolution, wisdom, fortitude, bravery, all of which are manly virtues. These things we ought not to be ashamed to encourage our male children in, that they may be manly. As in the days of Noah, males toward those latter days appeared progressively more feminine. See the lesson on Genesis chapter 6 in this lecture series. Women have a different set of virtues as seen in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and in the New Testament, such as in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and elsewhere. We need not be ashamed of the differences in male and female, since they are given for a reason by God. Growing children ought to be properly taught their role in life and not to be confused by any transgender philosophy. Unfortunately, in America, some of this is finding its way into the public schools. Verse 3, quote, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, going on to say, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, end quote. The king was to keep and enforce the law, as seen in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. That is the section there that is given governing the actions of the king and those in authority. Now this means that he was not to break the law in order to enforce the law, nor bend it to suit his needs when convenient. A king or head of state who ignores the rule of righteous law or breaks it habitually is not viewed in Scripture as being fit to rule. Law that doesn't agree with or is contrary to biblical law or its standard isn't viewed as just and should be overthrown or altered to bring it into biblical agreement. Verse 4. Here we see these promise words being fulfilled in Christ, who reigns forever. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. Verses 5 and 6 are David's final words to more or less tidy up the affairs of state, of things that he saw that still needed done. Joab was not to be permitted to carry on as the general of the armies, but instead he was to be punished for the murder of several people. It is not a righteous thing to let the guilty go unpunished. Unless there is an act of intervening sovereign grace. David refers to Solomon's wisdom, which had been granted to him already shortly after he became king. See 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12 for that. A wisdom that is testified later by the world in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. One needs to be sure that a man is not wise in his own eyes. Such wisdom is only self-approved foolishness turned inwardly. Verse 7. The family of Barzillai was to be blessed for the actions of the patriarch of that family that are described in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 31 through 38. General acts, generally generous acts toward God's kingdom, such as his, that is in helping and supporting God's kingdom, are not to be forgotten and are rewarded in due time. Stinginess belongs to the kingdom of darkness and shouldn't be found in the hearts of those who claim to love the generous God above. Verses 8 and 9 are David's judgment concerning the man named Shimei, the man who cursed David in hard times, as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 13. Be sure an unjust curse or unjust words of condemnation will fall back on the one who sends it, as seen here. Now, let us move on to the second portion of David's last words, found in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, this concerns the spiritual kingdom of God. Chapter 23, verse 1, quote, "Now these be the last words of David," end quote. This doesn't refer to the previous chapter, that is chapter 22, which is a psalm. The musical version of this is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 18. The last words of David here refer to the following verses in this chapter, down to and including verse 5. From verse 7, 8, and on, to the end of the chapter, we find the names of King David's mighty men of valor, along with a list of some of their more revered accomplishments on behalf of the kingdom. Now, another listing is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 to the end of that chapter. We can be sure that the Lord keeps a tally of our victories. There is not one defeat in the listings. Now, this is as if we remain in a win-win situation throughout life. Quote, "And the man who is raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said," end quote. Now David gave God the glory for his position and accomplishments in his life. There is no hint of arrogance or self-exaltation found in the intent of these words. He didn't say that he pulled himself up by his own bootstraps, as some say, nor was he a self-made man. All this that he accomplished in life was not a result of his talent or intelligence or bravery. But rather, quote, the man who was raised up on high by the God of Jacob. So in other words, it is God who pulled him up on high, even though he was down. The last title that is given here, the sweet psalmist of Israel, may be the dearest to the heart of David. A study of his psalms reveals just how sweet God was to this man. Verse 2, quote, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue," end quote. This would mean that the Spirit of the Lord was impressed on and internalized by David, so that what he said and wrote could be attributed to God. This verse, as well as the following verse, are often pointed to as examples of biblical inspiration. Similar words are found as spoken by Balaam in Numbers chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, and also in Numbers chapter 24, verses 15 through 19. Now see also the testimony of Balaam at that time elsewhere in Numbers chapter 22, verse 38, Numbers chapter 23, verses 5, 16, and 20. The New Testament, in regard to this, see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. A rule of inspiration, and one that is given as a test as to whether what is said is from God, is the question, does it agree or contradict the known word of God? The known word of God is the Scriptures, the Bible. God doesn't contradict himself. Another test of the true prophet as to whether he is speaking God's words is as to whether it comes to pass or not. Now, this is stated several times in the Old Testament. God's word is always true, and what he foretells always comes true. Here one must be careful not to fall for what is called lying wonders that would seem to prove the prophet to be true. Since the devil can't bring anything to pass on his own, he must fake it. Let's go on to verse 3. Quote, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God," end quote. The God of Israel and the Rock of Israel are spoken of here as being the same person. See Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. The words being sure and firm as a solid rock coming from him, as also in the Matthew account. What was spoken was not revealed by flesh and blood, but by God himself. The verse goes on to say that anyone who rules over men must be just and rule in obedience or fear of God. Now, if they don't, they will be corrupt and miserable failures for the duration of their leadership. Now, ultimately, this points to the righteous reign of Christ and his kingdom. This verse right here. Verse 4, And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. A righteous ruler is the joy and the glory of his people. In regards to that, the opposite is also true. An unrighteous ruler is the disgrace and shame of that ruler's people. Christ, the righteous, reigns now and will reign in his glorious kingdom as the light of the world, having no clouds of trouble to shade or block his brightness. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 plays upon the same concepts that are given here. His blessings shower on us as the rain does upon the grass. Verse 5, quote, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is my this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow, end quote. The beginning of this verse is a statement or confession of David's own unjustness, as well as that of his immediate family, as seen in, let's say, Absalom, Amnon, and the rebellion of Adonijah. In contrast to this, God, nevertheless, made his covenant with David. The covenant is based on God, his justice, and steadfastness, not the weakness of David and his flesh. This is the only way the covenant could be everlasting. The same is true with all of God's children. They are chosen and upheld by God, putting them on the certain footing of his rock, his firm word, for all eternity. It has nothing to do with the strength of the flesh's ability to uphold anything in the covenant. Since we all fail miserably in regard to this, Christ's new covenant with his people is the sum total of our salvation. Our eternal life is based on his firm eternality and his firm promises. All Christians have this hope and desire in them. Though his kingdom may not grow or bud forth as seen in perhaps our lifetime, we have this sure word of prophecy. And in this we can trust. Along this, see Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. With that, we will conclude our lesson here with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word and thy King of Kings. We thank thee for your sure word of prophecy. We pray now that you'll increase our faith, cause us to prosper in all that we do for thee. We ask now that you'll be with each one hearing your word. Cause us all to be obedient unto it. Bless for us in your name we pray. Amen.